In the name of Christ, the Lord of the vineyard. Amen. Think about this one verse of what you just heard, if you will. Are you envious because I am generous? There are a lot of unhappy people in the Bible today. There are a lot of people complaining about their circumstances or their situation or the way they feel they have been treated. We don't know with any precision the date of the exodus of the people of Israel from Egypt or of their 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, but whenever it may have been, it was at least centuries before the time of Jesus. But while the people in our stories today are separated by hundreds of years, they have this in common: they are equally miserable. Miserable, yes, but for different reasons. One group, the Israelites in the wilderness, they are unhappy because they are comparing their present with their past. Maybe they are free now, but before they were fed. Maybe they are God's own people now, but before at least they had houses. The other group, the workers in the vineyard, they are unhappy because they are comparing their own lot with the fortunes of the people next to them. They came to work, and the others came to work, and then still some more came to work, and the paymaster paid them all the same, even though some of them came at the last moment. The ones who came first and worked longest, they're not really remembering the agreement they made at the beginning of the day when all they wanted was a chance for a job. Now, all they're thinking about is what the others got and wondering why they didn't get more. There are a lot of unhappy people in the Bible today. They are looking backwards toward the past, or they're looking around, measuring themselves against what others have. And there are a lot of unhappy people in the world today. They are looking back to what they feel was a golden era, a better time, a moment when maybe things weren't perfect, but they sure seemed better. Maybe we weren't as welcoming as we should have been, not as innocent as we thought we were, but we felt more powerful, or more influential, or more secure, or just more comfortable. Or they're looking around and comparing themselves to the people around them. They look at the car they drive, or the clothes they wear, or the vacations they go on, or the number of people who follow them on Twitter, or like their pictures on Instagram. And they resent the other people who seem to be doing better, or having it easier, or being more influential. Now, let me just stop right here and ask you. You don't see yourselves in either of those groups, do you? You never look back and wish things were like the good old days, right? You don't quickly add up all the little cues about someone you've just met and calculate how they must be doing with respect to you, do you? You never do that, right? Are you so sure? Today we are offered a teaching about the direction in which disciples look. We're offered a teaching if we are willing to learn it. And we're offered a teaching about how to measure ourselves, what standard to hold ourselves up to if we are willing to hear it. The first lesson is disciples do not look backwards. If we are disciples, then the past is no fit place for us to live. If we are disciples, then what has come before us is there for one purpose only, and that is to equip us for what God has set in front of us. And here's one thing more. Disciples don't look sideways. We are not to measure our worth by comparing ourselves to the people next to us. And in the same way, we do not measure their worth by comparing them to us. Disciples begin from the understanding that every one of us has the same worth in the eyes of God. The world we live in works by means of comparisons. The culture we live in wants you to feel like you have to be better than, richer than, more beautiful than, healthier than, more powerful than, more influential than. We are never taught to ask and give thanks for what we have in absolute terms. We are taught to regard what we have compared to what others have in relative terms. Our culture seduces us in this way because of something deeply true about us that has been living inside us since we ate the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We are hardwired to compare ourselves to others and to imagine that that is the way our worth is measured. God knows this because God made us. God knows our weaknesses much better than we do. And God sees just how they keep getting us into trouble again and again. And that is why God keeps trying again and again to teach us not what to believe, but how to behave, how to act, how to discipline our thoughts and our hearts so we don't fall into that trap. Disciples don't look back in longing. They do not rest in the past. Disciples look ahead, because ahead of us is where God lives and where God beckons disciples on to go. Disciples don't measure themselves in terms of others, and disciples don't measure others in terms of our own ideas of what is worthy or righteous. Disciples remember that the worth of all people comes from one thing only, the fact that we are all created in the image of God, redeemed by the love of God, and called to be children of God, all of us equally. The Israelites in the wilderness are anxious about earthly things. They remember when they made an easy trade of freedom and dignity for food. And now that they are hungry, they wonder what value their freedom really has. The workers in the vineyard are anxious about earthly things. They are measuring their worth in terms of their paycheck and everyone else's paycheck. They use that as a measure of deserving. We were here first. We were here longer. We worked harder. But that is not how disciples see the world. In the kingdom of God, there is no need to deserve dignity, because in the kingdom of God, dignity is not earned. It is assured. It comes with being made in God's image. It is implanted in us without our doing, given to us without our deserving. And what is asked of us in return is just this, that we recognize it and see it and celebrate it in each other. and in every next person we meet. Sometimes we want a God that would distribute the goods of heaven according to the way we think justice should work. Maybe the reverse of the way wealth works in this world. Or maybe to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. But God gets to choose what God does with what is God's. And what God offers us is one thing. Whether we show up early in the morning or late at night, God offers us redemption. And the dignity that comes with being claimed as God's people, whether we are working in the vineyard or wandering in the desert. So, my brothers and sisters, whether we are wanderers or workers, let us resolve to be disciples. Let us resolve to live our lives in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, keeping our eyes fixed on what God has set in front of us. Not what people before us did, or what those around us think. Let us press on to the goal and be joyful. Joyful. That if we have any anxiety at all, it is about the things that will last, the things that will endure, the things that God has prepared for those who look forward and follow. Amen.